Well, I'd like to welcome all of you to this service here today. For all of you that are shut in and not able to get out and have family members come and visit with you on a regular basis for these last few months, I want you to know we continue here at Liberty Baptist Church to pray for you. We pray that the Lord would encourage you, that he would keep you safe, give you the strength and health you need at this time. And as soon as the doors are opened back up for all you residents in the extended and assisted living facilities, Lord willing, we'll be back there with you and look forward to that day. Today, though, I'd like to talk about a testimony and a witness. Our testimony and being a witness. You know, I'm convinced that a lot of the problems we have in the world, and especially in our country today, it falls right on us Christians, the born-again believers, because the too many truly saved people don't say anything for Christ. They take the benefits of salvation and forgiveness, but they don't pass. You know, blessings are like a river. They flow, right? If a river doesn't flow, it's just stagnant. But the blessings the Lord bestows upon us, they should flow through us, not stop with us. And what the Lord has done for us, he saved our soul. That needs to go out to the people who need it. I needed it at one time. Now that I'm saved, I need to tell other people. That's just being a witness for the Lord. And, you know, we're going to take a look at Apostle Paul here today. And you know what he did? Every place he went, he just gave him his testimony, how he got saved, what the Lord did for him. And that's all I want to talk about here today. What has the Lord done for you? And whatever that is, tell somebody. Tell somebody. You know, we need Christians that will stand up for the Lord. Now, if you're not able to stand, that's fine. Because if you're laying in a bed or you're sitting at a table with other people right now, you can still be that voice for him. That's all people need. They just need to hear what the Lord has done for you. We're going to start in Psalm 71. We're going to read 15 through 18. Before we do that, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to just take your word, Father, and get it out to the people. Father, I just pray that it'll be a blessing to them. I thank you for your goodness and mercy to me, to all of us, Father. I thank you for saving my soul. And Father, help us look at today that you saved us because you love us, but now you expect us to tell other people what the Lord has done for each one of us, Father, and help us to take that to heart here today. I ask that you give me the words to say. I ask that hearts be encouraged. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Psalm 71, starting in verse 15, it says right here, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, and I got to stop right there because, you know, I'm talking to a lot of people here that are shut in right now in assisted living, and I look at my own hair. Yeah, well, that's where we're at right now. We're gray-headed, okay? So this verse applies to us. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You notice that right there. This verse right here is talking about the old and gray-headed. And it says, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Do we do that? Our age is not an excuse. Amen. Our age is not an excuse. Right here in the Word of God, we're talking about old people. Actually, Psalm 71 is a psalm for help for the elderly people, is what it is, really. Excuse me. O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Do we do that? The problems we have in America, like I said a few minutes ago, the solution rests on us Christians. The solution rests on us Christians. Far too many Christians will not do this right here. Show thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Our testimony, I want to talk about testimony and being a witness here today. And our testimony is all about what we know to be true. You know, if you go to a court and they call you up on the witness stand, that's what they want. They want you to testify to what you know to be true. You're going to be a witness as to what you saw or heard or whatever it might be. Testimony is just telling people what the Lord has done for us. That's all it is. You know, when you first get saved, I was saved back in 1993, and it's a little nerve-wracking when you first have to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. I remember my voice shaking. I think my knees were knocking. But after that, it just becomes, God gives you the power. Well, I think it was a verse back there. It was in his strength, you see. That's what he wants us to do for him, is be a testimony for him, and he will give you the power to do that. That's what God wants each born-again believer to do. Just tell others what the Lord has done for them. We don't have to know and memorize the entire Bible to be a witness for the Lord, to tell someone what the Lord has done for us. We don't need to have all the answers. We only have to be willing to share with others what God has done for us. You know, one of these times, I do Sunday school for the adults here at Liberty Baptist Church once in a while. And one of these times, I just want to go around the room and hear everyone's testimony. I just want to hear how everyone come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And one of these times, maybe for you people at the assisted living, I'd like to hear your testimony. I've told mine, I don't know how many times I've told mine, but I'd like to hear yours. I'd really like to hear the circumstances the day you got saved. And that's all it is. That's all it is. You know, that's what Paul did, the Apostle Paul. After the Lord saved him, that's all he did, was going around telling people what the Lord had done for him. If we look at Acts chapter 9, I think we'll read the first six verses there. Acts 9, 1 through 6. First of all, I want to establish here in Acts chapter 9 what the Lord did for Paul. Then we're going to take a look at some verses of Paul telling other people what the Lord did for him. So in Acts chapter 9, 1 through 6, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Right there, Paul received Christ as his Savior. Right there it is. Okay, now let's go to Acts chapter 22, and we'll read 6 through 10. For time's sake, we're not going to read all the verses I wanted to, but we'll read 6 through 10 in chapter 22. Okay, so now Paul's been saved, right? He was a threat to the Christians. Now he is a Christian. So what's he do? And it came to pass that as I made my journey, we're talking about Paul here, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. You see, he's telling people right now what happened to him. In verse 7, and I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, you know that because we just read it in Acts chapter 9. That's exactly what happened, and that's all he's telling people. Verse 8, and I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. You see, Paul's just telling people what happened to him. And if we go to chapter 26, we'll read 12 through 18. Here he is again, testifying of his conversion, testifying of the day he got saved. 26, 12 through 18, it says, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, you see, he's just saying it over again. He's just saying it over to a different group of people. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of thee, of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. You see, that's all Paul did. After he got saved, he just went around telling people how he got saved. He went around telling people about Jesus Christ. He went around pointing to Christ. All the attention, all the focus should be on Christ. Anytime we give our testimony, if we get the word I in there or me, we're doing something wrong because it's all about him. It's all about him. Our testimony should be telling somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. Have you a testimony that Jesus Christ has saved you? Do you have that testimony? If you do, tell somebody. Tell somebody. This isn't about age. You know, as we get older and we get that gray-headed like we just read a verse on, and we get old, you know, the society seems to devalue us. They don't think we're worth as much as we were when we were young and energetic. That is so not true. So not true. You know, the Lord, he told Abraham when he was 99 years old to walk before him and be thou perfect. And he was 99 years old. The Lord doesn't look at our age. He looks at our heart. He wants to know if we're willing to speak up for him. To speak up for him. Are we willing to do that? You know, that's what, when Jesus was here, he went around saving people, helping people, healing people. And a lot of those people just went and told what Jesus had done for them, just like Paul did. You know, I think of the woman at the well. If we go to John chapter 4. Now, I want you to notice here what happens as a result, after she got saved, as a result of her telling somebody else about Christ. I want you to notice that. Because there's oftentimes I've thought to myself, if she never went and told anybody, these people that got saved as a result of her telling them, maybe they would have never got saved. Maybe they would have never been saved. How many people have passed our paths during the course of our lifetime since we've been saved that we neglected to tell them about Christ? Is anybody going to do it if the Lord brought them by our way for us to do? He's probably looking down from heaven saying, Tim, just tell him. Tell him what I did for you. I don't need you to have some PhD. I don't need you to be the smartest person around. Just open your mouth and tell someone what I've done for you. Well, the woman at the well in John chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 7. I'll see how far I go here. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. And there it is right there. How are people going to know the gift of God if we don't tell them? If somebody didn't tell me, I wouldn't know. They're not going to know unless we speak up. And that's the point behind this woman at the well. You see, Jesus is asking her right now, if thou knewest the gift of God. Well, she comes to know the gift of God. And then she tells other people, and they know the gift of God. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father, well, I won't keep going on right there, but you see, Jesus confronts her, and he wants to save her soul. She believes on him, and she is saved. Okay, so now after she gets saved, I want to skip down to verse, I'm going to read 39 through 42. 39 through 42. So this woman just got saved. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. You see, we back up to 39. And many of the Samaritans, so she went back, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. You see, that's all she did. She just told them what Christ did for her. That's all it is. We can't save them. There's nobody out there that I can save, spiritually save. I can't do that. Neither can you. But what we can do is tell them what Christ did, point to him, and saying, he's the one. He's the one that did it for me, and he'll do it for you. And that's what this lady did. Believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. He told me all that ever I did. How about the demon-possessed man? Let's look at Luke chapter 8, verse 39. Luke 8:39. Luke 8:39. Okay, so Jesus comes across this demon-possessed man. He casts the demons out of him. The guy gets saved. Now Jesus says to him the same thing. He doesn't say audibly to us, but he tells us in his word. Exact same thing. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Boy, we need Christians just like that. If we just need Christians like that. We don't need to put on a big show for anybody. We don't need to act like we're somebody that we're not. Just tell people what Christ has done. And that's all Jesus wanted this guy to do. That's all he wanted him to do. And show how great things God hath done unto thee. That's Jesus speaking to him. And he went his way and published. That means he proclaimed it. That means he used his mouth and he just told people what the Lord has done. And that's all I want to encourage you folks to do. It's just tell people what the Lord has done for you. Like I said earlier, you don't need to have all the answers. You don't need to have all the answers. You just need to tell people what the Lord has done for you. We need to proclaim it. Psalm 66, 16. Psalm 66, 16. Psalm 66, 16 says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, And I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Now, just because you want to tell people what Christ has done for you, don't get me wrong. There's going to be a lot of people that don't want to hear it. But that's all right. That's not up to us. I mean, that's not our responsibility. All we have to do is be willing to go and tell. If they don't want to listen, they don't listen. But I tell you what, there might be 30 people who don't want to listen to you right in a row. But that 31st person might just come to know Christ as their Savior. And then, wouldn't it be worth it? Wouldn't it be worth it if one person was snatched out of the fires of hell because you spoke up and told him what Christ did for you, and he or she wanted that same thing? Boy, it'd be worth it all. You know, I think of Noah, right? Building the ark. Nobody listened to him, but he didn't stop proclaiming it. He didn't stop warning people. He didn't stop pointing to Christ. And nobody listened, except his family. We need to always be ready to tell others. But you know what? You know, we're going to be honest here, though. Sometimes it's not that easy to tell others what Christ has done for us when our lives don't reflect what Christ has done for us. That is, I told you, the responsibility falls on us Christians, but that's the problem right there. You see, we're hesitant to tell somebody about God's free gift of salvation when we're living a life that's no different from those that aren't saved. You know, if we go through our lives and we don't ever speak up for Christ because he's not a part of our lives. You know, let's go to Genesis. I'll tell you what, right here. Let's go to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. And we'll read 12 through 14. Let's do that. Genesis 19, 12. Okay, so a couple angels come to Lot, and they want to get him out of the town because it's going to be destroyed, right? So they tell him, go get your family members. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any beside son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. So the angels are telling him, you got to get your family out of here. Okay? So verse 13, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Verse 14, and Lot went out. So Lot's going to do what they tell him to do, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, see, maybe I remember this story quite a bit because I have three daughters, okay? And said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. So he's warning them. He's telling them, the Lord is going to destroy this city. I need you to get up, grab your possessions, whatever you can carry, and we got to go now. He's saying, because the Lord is going to destroy this place. But what happened? But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Why does it say that right there? I tell you why. Because Lot never mentioned the Lord. He went to warn his family, and they perished. You know, let me say that to you right now. These people died. His daughters and his sons-in-laws died. Because he seemed as one that mocked. You see, he was trying to tell them what the Lord was going to do. But he's never mentioned the Lord before, obviously. Because they just laughed at him. They just laughed at him. And sometimes, that's why it's hard for us sometimes to tell people about the Lord, because our lives don't reflect what he's done for us. You know, we're supposed to be that new creature where old things are passed away, but too often we go backwards and we want to dig those things back up. But the Lord freed us from those things so we could be a witness for him. We could tell others what he's done for us. There's times you run into people that you've known for years, and they tell you they're a Christian, and you're like, that makes you scratch your head because, you know, you don't act like it. You don't act like it. Do we act like a Christian so we can tell other people about the Lord? Do we act that way? Do we live our lives that way? Instead of having a good testimony, we become sidetracked with the cares of this world. It could be we are just ashamed to be identified as a Christian. You know, and maybe I understand that a little bit when you're first saved, because you're a little nervous, a little apprehensive. But after you've been saved any amount of time at all and been into a Bible preaching church, I don't see what the need to be ashamed is. I would rather perish today and everyone know I'm a Christian than to live another 50 years and nobody know I'm a Christian. I would, and that's sincere. I'd rather do that. I'd never want to be ashamed of the Lord. Because I'll tell you why. Mark chapter 8, if we go there. Mark chapter 8. You know, we need Christians that'll stand up, have some backbone. Mark chapter, you know, if we had Christians that would stand up for the Lord and get some courage about them, and we've already read that the strength and the power is His. He gives us that to do what He wants us to do. But if we had people that would stand up for Him, this world wouldn't be in the mess it is today. It wouldn't, I'm dead serious about that. It wouldn't be in the mess it is today. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 through 38. And it says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And here it is. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me," this is Jesus speaking here, "shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation." We're living in an adulterous and sinful generation. "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the Lord being ashamed of any one of us because we were ashamed of him? We were too ashamed to tell people what the Lord has done for us. Too ashamed. I can't imagine this right here. The Lord, yes, he saved us. Yes, he saved somebody. But then he's ashamed of that person. And it's going to happen. It says so right there. Jesus is the one speaking. There's going to be a lot of people in that boat. There's going to be a lot of... Let me ask you, when's the last time someone told you about Jesus Christ? Other than maybe watching a DVD... but when's the last time someone just walked by and told you about Christ? I got to tell you, nobody's knocked on my door. I've lived here in Greenville for 3 years, and nobody's once knocked on my door and told me about Christ. Not one time. We need Christians who will stand up for the Lord and tell other people what the Lord has done for them. We need that. Let's look at Matthew 10:33. Matthew 10:33. It says right here, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." That's a shame. How do we keep a good testimony? How do we do that? Well, do what the Lord tells us to do, right? You know, James 4:17 is a verse I think of a lot. James 4:17 is a verse I think of a lot because it's simple. It is simple verse. James 4:17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You see, that's one of the reasons we can't go around telling people our testimony. We can't go around and be a witness to them because the things we know are good and we don't do them, we are sinning. And how are we going to tell someone about Christ? Just the simple verse here. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." How do we keep a good testimony? Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. I like these verses right here too. Verse 8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Remember, we're talking about how to keep a good testimony here. Observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And in verse 9, it says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You see, even when we go and we witness to people, the Lord's right there with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Sometimes we think we're doing it in our own strength, in our own might. That's not true. We have no strength. We have no might. Apart from Christ, we have nothing. Anytime we're witnessing to somebody, or we're just telling them our testimony, or we just want to bring up the Lord's name, the power to do that, the strength to do it, the courage to do it, all comes from the Lord. It all comes from the Lord. Once we recognize that, once we accept that, then it's easy to point to Him. It's easy to point to Him when we know He's the one doing the work. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 12:13. Remember, we're talking about how to keep a good testimony. 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Well, that's right there. If we had Christians that would actually live their lives in the fear of the Lord, this country of ours would be a lot better off. And keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Right there is how to keep a good testimony. Let's look at 1 Peter 1:16. There's a zillion verses I could turn to, but we haven't got that much time. 1 Peter 1:16, it says right here, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we strive to do that, if we have a desire to do that, if we purpose in our hearts to do that, we were saved by a holy and righteous God. We should be serving that holy and righteous God. It says right here, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we strive to do that, we can keep a good testimony. We can keep a good testimony. We need to do what Daniel did. We'll go to Daniel 1:8. Daniel 1:8. We have people who just live their lives and they have no purpose. They have no goals. They have no direction. They have no vision. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. You see, we don't purpose things in our heart to do this. Purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You see, he purposed in his heart that he would not do that. We don't have Christians. We don't have enough Christians that will do that. Psalm 34:14. Psalm 34:14. How do you keep a good testimony? Depart from evil. There you go. And do good. Remember, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's how you keep a good testimony. When evil comes around, have nothing to do with it. Depart from it. Depart from it and just do good. God's will for our lives is that we get saved. You know, God's will for our lives is that we get saved, and after we're saved, He wants us to tell people about Him. God's will for our lives is to get saved. Now, maybe you're out there and you're listening or watching this DVD, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We're going to go to John 3:16, and we'll read 16 and 17, I think. And before we're done here, I'll tell you how to be saved. I won't tell you. I'll read it from the Bible, what Jesus says, what the Lord says, how to be saved. John 3:16 and 17, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Right there, if you want to go talk to the person next to you, just tell them John 3:16. Start with that. In verse 17, it says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's will for our lives is for every one of us to be saved. And I tell you again, if somebody didn't tell me about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for me, I might not be saved today. It wasn't from somebody knocking on my door, I can tell you that. From somebody coming up to me one-on-one and telling me. That's what it was. And like I said, after we're saved, God wants us to be a witness for him. 1 Peter 2:9. Are we that witness? Have you ever witnessed to somebody? If the Lord has saved you forever, how many years, have you ever told somebody? Do your family members know? Do your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren know? Boy, I tell you what, when the Lord calls me home, I want all my family to know that he was saved. I want them to know that. I want them to know him as their Savior. First Peter 2:9. Okay. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You see, right there it is. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He called us out of that darkness when he saved us, and he just wants us to show forth his praises. Can't we do that? It don't take any money. It don't take any money at all. It just takes a minute or two of your time just to tell somebody over there who's not looking at Christ and not thinking about Christ, getting his attention and saying, you need to think about him, and let me tell you what he's done for you. The same thing he's did for me. How about Acts 22, 14 and 15? I'm just trying to get you people to realize the Lord has done what the Lord has done for you, and he wants you to tell somebody. Just tell somebody. Acts 22, 14 and 15. It says, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Verse 15, he says, for thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. There it is right there. For thou shalt be his witness. Are you his witness? Are you his witness? Unto all men of what thou hast seen and what thou hast heard. What has he done for you? Can you tell somebody about that? Can you tell somebody about that? If we don't testify to others what the Lord has done for us, what good are we really to the Lord? What good are we? We're really no good at all. You know, if the Lord didn't want us to go around telling people, why, right the moment we got saved, why wouldn't he just call us up to heaven? Take us home. Because there wouldn't be nothing for us to do down here. He leaves us here so we can tell other people. The same way, if you're truly born again, somebody had to tell you. Somebody had to tell you. Now let's go to Matthew 5:13. Matthew 5:13. And it says here, ye are the salt of the earth. We're talking about saved people here. Jesus says ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, that'd be people who never speak up for Christ. That's what we're talking about here. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. That we are the salt of this earth. The phrase ye are that we just read indicates that only the genuinely born again believers are salt and can help meet the needs of this world. I told you, this is the third time I've told you, a lot of the problem with this country of ours rests right on the Christians' shoulders because we're not the salt. So therefore, what we just read, it says, what good are you? What good are you? You know, salt adds flavor. All you ladies know this better than I do. Salt acts as a preservative. Salt melts coldness. Salt heals wounds. You see, that's what the people need. That's what the lost people need. They need what Christ has to offer. And it's got to go through us to them. It's got to go through us. Don't think your job here is done. I never think my job's done because I'm a child of his. And he has something for me to do. And that's tell other people about him. We are to be salt and light to this world through our testimony and witnessing for the Lord. We're right here. Let's read verses 14 through 16. You know, for the last year or so, I've been thinking a lot about this light, okay? So I read these quite a bit, but 14 through 16, it says, ye are the light of the world. Again, we're talking about the saved people, okay? The genuinely born-again Christians by the blood of Christ. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Too many Christians are underneath the bushel basket. They can't see that light of Christ. People out there can't see it. Verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men. That's what we're talking about here today. Testimony and being a witness. That's letting your light shine. That they may see your good works. And what, glorify us? No. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness alone can never dispel the light. No amount of darkness can get rid of the light. But the smallest light can dispel the greatest darkness. I was in a church basement in Pennsylvania one time. I mean, it was pitch black down there. I couldn't see hardly anything. Finally found a little candle, got that thing lit. I tell you what, I could see from one end of that basement to the other, and it was just a little candle. But the smallest light, the darkness has to flee. The darkness has to flee. You see those people out there that don't know Christ as their Savior, they're in darkness. That's why these verses, I've been thinking about these verses for the past year. Because the smallest amount of light will get rid of that darkness in their lives. And they'll be able to see Christ. They'll bring them out of that darkness. Don't worry about their darkness. It can't do anything to your light. Okay? And we just read Jesus said, you are the light. It's actually, if we want to read more verses on that, he's the light. He gives us the light. And he wants us to take it to the people in the darkness. And that's what we're talking about, a testimony and being a witness. Well, we're going on about 45 minutes now. And look, folks, the Lord just wants us to speak up. We talk all day long, okay? Majority of us, our mouths never stop, okay? From the time we get our head off the pillow till the time it goes back on the pillow, we know how to talk. Well, can't we just take time and say a few words for the Lord? I want you to think about people out there that don't know Jesus Christ and what their eternity will be. Their eternity, well, John 3:16, right? They're going to perish. They're going to perish unless they come to know Christ. They're not going to know Christ unless we speak up for him. Unless we speak up for him. Now, maybe, like I said, maybe you're watching this DVD or listening to it and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me take you to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 real quick. Being saved, being born again, is not some big, mysterious, complicated ordeal. It's really not. Otherwise, there's a lot of people, including myself, that wouldn't be smart enough to know how to get saved. But God knows that. He made it very simple, and he made it very plain. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. Right there you are. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God has a gift for us. And it's not through works. It says right here in verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see that right there? You can be saved. You can be saved through faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. That's all it takes. There's no amount of works that's going to get you there. And then, once you are saved, you can tell somebody else. You can just tell them like Paul did. Just tell them what the Lord has done for you. That's all it is. Well, I'm going to read Romans 10, 9, and 10 real quick. I'll read Romans 10, 9, and 10 real quick. In probably 13, but it says, here you go. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you already know it's a gift from God, right? So here's all you got to do, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, you know what? I'll try that. I've got nothing to lose. I'll try it. But that's not that you're thinking wrong, because it says for with the heart. Yeah, the Lord searches the heart. He knows if you mean what you're saying or not, if you're sincere. In verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, won't you accept him as your Savior today? He paid the price for your sins on the cross. So you wouldn't have to be punished eternally for them. And if you are saved by the blood of Christ, won't you speak up for him in the days ahead? Just tell people what the Lord has done for you. If nothing else, just mention him. Mention him to somebody to get their mind thinking about him. So too many people go through their day never thinking about the Lord. Not one time. Let's get their minds on him and off of everything else going on around us.